We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Well, we have not only entered the age of the vaccine, but of the vaccine mandate. So how are the COVID vaccines themselves different from all the other vaccines that most of us have had that children need to have to go to school or members of the military need to have in order to serve? And why must we defend freedom of conscience, especially in an age of vaccine mandates? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about COVID-19 vaccines and vaccine mandates. Dr. Jeff Barrows joins us. He's an OBGYN and Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Dr. Barrows, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
If you would run through the list of COVID-19 vaccines for us, which ones are pro-lifers most concerned about and why?
Well, pro-lifers are concerned about any of the vaccines that are associated with what we call abortion-derived fetal cell lines. And unfortunately, all of the vaccines that have been approved here in the United States have one form of association with abortion-derived fetal cell lines. There is a difference between the vaccines. Both of the mRNA vaccines, that's the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, used an abortion-derived fetal cell line called HEK293 in a single confirmatory step early in the development of the vaccine. And then after that, there was no further utilization of the cell line. It was simply to confirm that the mRNA that they had put together did in fact code for the spike protein on the SARS-CoV-2 virus. There's a difference, though, with Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine uses a different abortion-derived fetal cell line called PERC6, and it uses it not only in the initial confirmation and development, but actually for the ongoing production of the vaccine. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is what we call a viral vectored vaccine. And so part of the vaccine itself is a virus. It's an adenovirus. And that adenovirus is actually grown on this abortion-derived fetal cell line. And so in that way, the J&J vaccine has a different association with these abortion-derived fetal cell lines.
As you have said, we've heard that the Johnson vaccine used fetal cell lines in its development, but the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines use fetal cell lines in testing, at one point in testing, but not development. Some might say that this is a distinction without a difference. How do you respond to that?
I think the most important ethical question that needs to be answered for Christians, for those that are of the pro-life bent, is whether or not the use of the vaccine makes the person complicit with the evil of the abortion. I can go through a fairly in-depth analysis if you want on that. There are basically three different tests that need to be applied. And I can say in a short answer that looking closely at both of these fetal cell lines, there is no complicity with evil if we take them. And so the distinction between the mRNA vaccines and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine really is probably mostly in the mind of the person. I do tend to educate people about the difference, but I would still, if I didn't have any choice in terms of what vaccine to take, I would still take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because, again, in looking at it closely, we've concluded that there is no complicity with the evil of the abortion that occurred decades ago.
If you would walk us through the ethical chain there where you could assure our listeners of no complicity in evil with respect to that vaccine.
Sure. There are basically three steps that are three conditions that need to be met to avoid moral complicity with evil. The first is that there should be no connection whatsoever between the original evil and whatever good, quote, good comes out of it. And in the case of the abortion-derived fetal cell lines, this translates into clear evidence that there is no evidence that the original abortion was done in order to produce that abortion-derived fetal cell line. And fortunately, we have testimony. It was given in 2001 at the FDA by the person who actually collected the tissue at both of these abortions. There was an abortion done in the Netherlands in 1972. That tissue was then used to develop the HEK293 cell line. And there was another abortion done in 1985, and then that was used later to develop a second abortion-derived fetal cell line. And in both of those cases, Dr. Van der Erb, is the name of the researcher, stated that in the first abortion, he did not know why the abortion was done. He had no connection at all with it itself. He had just simply been notified that one was being done and took it upon himself to go and collect the tissue. The second abortion was done because the woman wanted to get rid of the baby. So that's a very important thing. We want to get maximal separation between the evil of the abortion and then the good that comes out of it, this being the cell line. Some other degrees of separation are that even though Dr. Van der Erb collected the tissue, he actually did not create the fetal cell lines. He had other scientists in his lab create them. The fetal cell line HEK293 was created a year after the original abortion, and the second cell line was created in 1995, 10 years after the abortion in 1985. And so that really meets the first criteria. The second is that there should be no evidence that the use of the fetal cell line will incentivize pharmaceutical companies from using or creating future cell lines from abortions. And this is where it's critical for organizations and individuals to get involved in advocacy, public awareness. And CMDA has been doing that. We have been making it known to pharmaceutical companies and government agencies that we want to see any future vaccine development, as I said, use the alternatives. Don't use the abortion-derived fetal cell lines, even though it's easy for them. And there has been no evidence that any other abortion-derived fetal cell line has been incentivized to be developed as a result of the use of the COVID-19 vaccines. The third condition needs to be that there should be a clear good that is achieved out of the original evil. And of course, we've already talked about that, and that is the good of a marked decrease in hospitalization, a marked decrease in mortality, lives, thousands, tens of thousands of lives saved through the use of these vaccines, I think is a remarkable good. So for those three reasons, I think we can comfortably say that we are not complicit with the evil of the original abortion and therefore can take these vaccines.
Some on the other side would argue that any and all use of fetal cells in the development is justified by the urgency of the pandemic. How would you respond?
I don't know that I can accept that, because we do know that scientifically there are technologies that are ethically acceptable to all of us in the pro-life movement by using animal cell lines, or there are even insect cell lines that do the same thing. And the reason, and we've actually talked to some of the original researchers, the reason that they used these fetal cell lines was simply because they happened to be available. They were used to using them. It wasn't because there was no other opportunity or alternative. And so that's why I think it's important for us in the pro-life movement to be advocating that in the future, and that's really one of the criteria to make this, we're not complicit with evil, is that in the future, when these companies are looking to develop new vaccines, that they avoid the use with these abortion-derived fetal cell lines and instead use some of these ethically pure cell lines, which are just as good and are available.
Many fear that, on another front, that the vaccine has not been thoroughly tested and vetted. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think in answering that, the key is what does it mean to say that they've been thoroughly tested? I do think there's a lot of disinformation that's out on the internet, especially in regards to the mRNA vaccines. I have heard physicians say to large groups of people that the mRNA vaccines have never been tested in humans before. That is completely untrue. Moderna actually has gone through the process of developing 5 different mRNA vaccines since 2015. They developed one for influenza, for an infection called cytomegalovirus, a Zika virus vaccine, and they were working on another one when the pandemic hit. So they've been around longer, and each of those studies did involve human trials and animal trials. And so there is a fair amount of safety that we had in terms of evidence as they were initially given emergency use authorization by the FDA. And since that time, in December of 2020, of course, these vaccines have been administered to over 150, 160 million people. And there's been no huge complication that's come out. You'll see reports of myocarditis, it's called, in young men that have received the mRNA vaccines. And then there have been reports of unusual blood clots in a very few people who have received the Johnson & Johnson and the related AstraZeneca vaccines. But these are very rare, and rare complications do occur with many of our vaccines that we use even still today. So I guess that's a long answer to say that certainly they were tested. I think to say if it was thoroughly tested is a very subjective thing. In my mind, I felt they had been tested enough that I did get the vaccines back in February of this year.
How are the COVID vaccines, in particular the mRNA vaccines, different from other common vaccines that we receive?
Yeah, I've used the terminology of mRNA. That stands for messenger RNA. And even though Moderna had been using and in the process of studying mRNA vaccines in a few of the other infections that I mentioned, it's a relatively new technology. And what it does is messenger RNA is like the code to produce a particular protein. And all we need to get our immune system activated against, for instance, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, is to expose our body's immune system to the spike protein. And I'm sure your listeners have all seen the pictures of the SARS-CoV-2 virus with these huge spikes coming out. That's why it has the name of a coronavirus. It looks like a crown. And this is perfect for our immune system. It's on the outside of the virus. It sticks out. It's easy for our immune system to get to. So rather than using a vaccine that incorporates the entire virus, the mRNA vaccines simply put together the code that's the mRNA, and it's injected into our cells, and then our cells actually produce that spike protein. It's released into our bloodstream, and then our body says, hey, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be here. It develops an immune response, and then after that, that person is immunized. And that is very new. That's new to the whole vaccine world. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is slightly different. It uses a type of DNA that is brought into the body through, as I mentioned, a virus, an adenovirus. But the end result is essentially the same in that it induces our body's cells, particularly the muscle cells in our arm where the injection is given, to produce this spike protein, which is released into the bloodstream. Our body's immune system is exposed to it, develops antibodies, and we become immune.
Dr. Jeff Barrows is our guest. He's an OBGYN and Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. We're talking about COVID vaccines and vaccine mandates. On the other side, many assume that COVID would prevent the recipient from being infected and transmitting the virus. Do other vaccines do this?
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, his design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about COVID-19 vaccines and vaccine mandates with Dr. Jeff Barrows of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Dr. Barrows, many assume that the COVID vaccine would prevent the recipient from not only being infected, but also transmitting the virus. Do other vaccines actually do this?
I would say that that is one difference with SARS-CoV-2. It does, and I wouldn't use the word prevent, and you're hearing a lot now in the news what's called breakthrough infections, and there is a higher rate of breakthrough infections than we had hoped would happen, especially with the Delta variant that's now circulating within the United States. I would say that the vast majority of vaccines against other types of diseases like measles, like influenza, does markedly reduce the transmission of the virus. And that's a disappointment with these COVID-19 vaccines, especially with the Delta variant. The reason really boils down to the Delta variant allows for the manufacture of a tremendous number of viral particles, especially in the nasal cavity. And the vaccine type that we have developed, which is essentially a blood type of vaccine, doesn't really allow the immune system to get into the nasal cavity all that much. So this virus can get in there and then be passed to others around the person that's carrying it. Though I would say that there is fairly good evidence that the number of days that a person will carry the virus, if they're vaccinated, is cut in half. So it does still seem to reduce that transmission, though obviously not by 100%.
Some have said that if the vaccine doesn't prevent acquiring or transmitting the virus, there's no sense in getting that. Is that true?
That is not true. The vaccine, it was originally designed most of all to prevent severe disease, which we would define essentially as hospitalization and mortality. And it's very clear that all of the vaccines that we've been talking about, the J&J vaccine, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, all of them do markedly reduce the incidence of both hospitalization and death from COVID-19. And those are still very, very good reasons to get vaccinated.
Turning to the mandates, what do you make of the Biden administration's promotion of COVID vaccination as a moral obligation?
Well, I find that a lot of people, especially politicians, tend to throw that word moral around a lot, and they use it when they want to, and they avoid it when they want to as well. And I disagree with the broad mandate that President Biden has announced. And I should also add that at this point in time, CMDA, the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, does not have any official policy on vaccine mandates. I would say that we're generally opposed to them. But speaking for myself, I clearly am opposed to a very broad mandate, such as what President Biden announced. That doesn't mean that in a very narrow clinical setting that a mandate would be of benefit. What's necessary to make it ethical, and I look at it rather through an ethical lens rather than a moral lens, is that the good that can be achieved by coercing people into getting a vaccine needs to be clearly outweighed by the negative that you are taking away the ability of the person to give consent to the vaccine. So in very narrow and specialized circumstances, such as, for example, a hospital cancer ward where you've got people that are getting chemotherapy that are immunocompromised and are at very grave risk of infection and of even death and hospitalization from COVID-19, I can understand that a hospital might mandate the healthcare workers in that particular area to get a vaccine. I think that hospital should also provide an alternative employment for them in another area of the hospital where they're dealing with less high-risk patients. But the mandate that was announced by President Biden was so far-reaching, so broad, that you really lose the ethical good that's achieved for the public health in terms of and its comparison to the negative that is lost by the ability of people no longer to be able to give consent to getting the vaccine.
In particular, what do you make of the attempt to enact vaccination mandates through the Department of Labor and pressure put on private businesses of 100 employees or more?
I think that's a mistake. I don't agree with that. I assume, I don't remember President Biden or any of his officials actually stating this. I assume the goal is to achieve what is known as herd immunity. I think it's a wrong approach. I think it's far better for us to continue to use encouragement, education. I think with more time, there's some evidence that more and more people were beginning to consider the good of the vaccine, and the longer it had been used, the more it had been rolled out, the more people that had received the vaccine. I think all of those things together have the capability of influencing people, more and more people to get the vaccine. So to mandate it in such a broad way, especially through the workforce, I think there's a danger that people are going to quit work. We may end up having a lot of labor shortage that, in fact, worsening what we already have right now. So I think overall it was a major mistake.
Dr. Jeff Barrows of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations is our guest. COVID-19 vaccines and vaccine mandates are our topics. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. Ad Crucem produces beautiful church banners, greeting cards, Christian jewelry, fine art, posters, housewares, baptism and confirmation certificates, and Christian monograms. Learn more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. On the other side, how are the current COVID vaccination mandates different from common vaccination requirements for schools and the military?
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
You're invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, September 24th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets by calling 618-633-2202. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Ernst Heating and Cooling, Alton Memorial Hospital, Valo Floor Coverings, and Seavers Equipment. Oktoberfest, Friday night, September 24th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. 618-633-2202.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about COVID-19 vaccines and vaccine mandates with Dr. Jeff Barrows, an OBGYN, Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. In about 10 minutes, we'll discuss debunking the 1619 project with Dr. Mary Graybar. Dr. Barrows, how are the current COVID vaccination mandates different in any way from the common vaccine requirements that we have for schools and the military?
Well, that's a good question. And I think we are used to vaccine mandates in schools, and those deal with childhood illnesses that each have significant side effects. I'm old enough to remember knowing somebody that actually had polio, and I remember that she was on crutches, lived across the street from me. Polio was a significant disease that causes lifelong disability. And so you have, again, the good that can be achieved through vaccination and getting rid of a particular disease and danger through mandates, especially in schools where you're focused on childhood diseases. The military is a little bit different. You're, of course, in very close quarters, but you have a decision whether or not a person wants to join the military. And so they can make that decision in association with the recognition that if they do join, they will be forced to get certain vaccines. That's a lot different. They always have the ability and the freedom to say, well, I don't want to join the military and no longer have the mandate apply to them. So again, those are examples of relatively narrow areas where you have a mandate for significant purposes.
If the government starts mandating children to be vaccinated, should parents be concerned?
I think that the government would have to justify the good, again, that's going to be achieved. And we all know that COVID-19 hits the elderly population the most, and so far children have been relatively free from getting significant side effects, though I know and I've seen some preliminary data that the Delta variant may be different. And so I would say that I don't see any reason that the government could ethically justify a mandate for children unless there is adequate new evidence that arises that with the Delta variant or some new variant that comes after it, that there is a significant danger to children that would justify that mandate.
How and why must freedom of conscience be safeguarded in a time of vaccine mandates?
Well, freedom of conscience is a critical freedom. It's very important to us at the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. We're seeing our freedom of conscience being threatened in a lot of different situations, not just with COVID-19. And so that's why, while we as an organization are very pro-vaccination, we are encouraging our members to get vaccinated and to vaccinate their patients. We do not agree in general with vaccine mandates for that very reason. I think that in order to take away a person's ability to give consent to something, and in this case, a vaccination, requires a very clear good, as I've said, a very clear evidence that it's worthwhile, it's worth doing that. And I certainly don't believe that the Biden administration's broad mandates have done that. So it's unfortunate that we're losing the freedom of conscience in ever greater measure these days.
What advice can you give to a Christian healthcare worker who religiously objects to the COVID-19 vaccines and is in danger of losing his or her job?
Well, I actually am in a position now where I'm doing that on a daily basis because many of our members are writing in with this. And so we are giving them legal resources from organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, First Liberty, and others. I've also put together a little bit of an instruction sheet that they begin communication with their employer. We are, I guess I would say, optimistic at this point that the vast majority of employers are sensitive to the freedom of conscience, sensitive to these need for exemptions. And so I think it's important for the employee to begin a line of communication to lay out in as great detail as they can exactly what their objection is to the vaccine, whether it be medical, whether it be religious, whatever. And then to also communicate across a desire to be flexible, to go along with an alternative such as weekly testing, maybe working in a different area, so that they come across in a manner that is showing some flexibility in the hope that the employer will do the same. But I have to say that I think legally, especially in the short term, there are probably very little choices for employees. It's going to take months, in fact, maybe even years, for this mandate to work its way through the courts and to show whether or not it was in fact legal, even though in the past the Supreme Court has supported local mandates on vaccination. That was famously in a case in 1905, but that case involved smallpox, a disease that is very different with a mortality of about 30%, 30 times the level of mortality of the disease we're dealing with right now.
Dr. Jeff Barrows is an OBGYN and he's Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. You'll find a link to the Christian and Medical Dental Associations at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Barrows, thank you very much.
Todd, my pleasure. Great to be with you.
When we come back, we will talk about the attempt to rewrite American history by the 1619 Project and debunk its ideas with Mary Graybar.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Here's a new way for you to win the LPR Bundle Package. Submit a time cue with the show number for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. If your selection wins Soundbite of the Week, we'll send you an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. tote bag, notepad, pen, and bumper sticker. Just send your submission for Soundbite of the Week with a time cue and show number to talkback@issuesetc.org, and you could win the LPR Bundle Package. Talkback@issuesetc.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentrost. A hardy band of German missionaries founded Emmanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emmanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FrankenTrost.org.
Your funeral is the last opportunity to make your confession, your final confession from the grave, as it were. In your funeral, you confess before the world what you believe and in whom you trust, Christ and Him crucified. The September issue of the Luther Witness will help you think through this final confession of yours. It will help you think through the funeral service, funeral arrangements, hymns, and more. To purchase your copy of the Luther Witness, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.